Comic Joey Medina is here with us in Washington today to perform this evening at this year's Reyes of Comedy, organized by the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute. And he's been kind enough to stop by here in Studio 3A. You will remember him as one of the stars of the original Latin Kings of Comedy, from performances in just about every major comedy club in the country, and from many appearances on TV.
I love Mexico. I love driving across, because you ever notice when you drive across, you got Mexican immigration checking us out? And I'm thinking, what if Fred, we're sneaking in technology? Ooh. You, senor, with the laptop, get out of the car. It's not a laptop, it's an Etch-a-Sketch, look.
Joey Medina is also an actor, writer, and director, best known for his film El Matador. He was once a professional boxer and a police officer before he started his career in stand-up. If you'd like to talk with him about his comedy and life in the comedy business, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And Joey Medina, nice to have you on the program
today. Hey, man, thanks for having me. You know, it's like I was saying, I actually listen to NPR, so I love that you guys asked me to be here. Thank you so much.
I wonder, when you go to this event tonight, is there Congressional Hispanic Caucus humor?
Yeah. Well, you know, Hispanic people, Latinos, pretty much laugh at the same things all Latinos laugh at. You know, like, for instance, today I took a walk, and I walked to the White House, and it was amazing to see white gardeners working. So that was different. As a matter of fact, you can see the video on YouTube right now.
I wonder, do you have any material on the latest Associate Justice of the Supreme Court?
Oh, yeah. She's Puerto Rican like myself. And, you know,
and from the Bronx like
yes,
you.
From the Bronx. So actually, my mom's house, we have actually a saint already. Of the lady. So, you know, my mom's praying to her and doing all that other stuff.
And again, you came to stand-up from a career as a police officer, before that a professional boxer. I'm sure both of those professions have stood you in good stead, but that's not the normal route of a comedian,
No,
is it?
Not at all. But, you know, the funny thing is that I'm like my own job fair. I've had almost every job you could think of. And, you know, the police officer thing, I did that because, you know, I thought women love a man in uniform. But it depends on what kind of uniform, because when I worked at Domino's, that did not work whatsoever.
So there you go. and despite all of these wonderful career things, you've now sunk so low as to take up a career in radio.
Yeah, there you go. I had a morning radio show in Los Angeles on a station called Latino 96.3. And, the format was reggaeton music and hip-hop, which was pretty good. But the funny thing is, it was a morning show. And everyone knows Latin people don't wake up that early. So our show should have started like in the afternoon, I think.
Well, not only Latin people, that's for you to say, but nevertheless, comedians don't wake up that
yeah,
early.
Yeah, it was really hard because I still was working at night. I was doing shows and literally going to bed probably about midnight almost every single night and then waking up at 4 a.m. So it was pretty difficult.
And you must have been on tour part of that time.
Yeah, and
well.
I was on tour, so I didn't even have the weekends off. But they paid me so much money that I said yes.
Let me advise listeners, that does not apply to all brands of radio.
Yeah.
Anyway, 800-989-8255, email us talk@npr.org. We'll start with Robert. Robert with us from Modesto in California.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Very well, thanks.
I just wanted to ask him, what are the biggest changes that he's seen and experienced in the industry now that there's a lot of prominent Latino comedians?
You know, it's funny. I just had this conversation with a buddy of mine, Rudy Moreno, who's another funny comic. You know, before, to see a Latin comic, you had to go to a special Latin night or a Latin comedy show. And even though they still exist, Latino comics are now more mainstream than ever. You know, there's comedians, obviously, like George Lopez, Paul Rodriguez, who I just worked with, Carlos Mencia, Gabriel Iglesias, myself, Willie Barcent. There's literally, you know, Greg Giraldo, who's on the show this evening. We have so many comedians out there that are so mainstream now that it's not, you know, we're not all talking about tortillas. We're not talking about this, that, and the other thing, even though we, you know, a little bit, but not too much. And so we're more mainstream now than I think we ever been.
It's interesting you mentioned some of those comedians. I read in an interview where you once said, and I think this was just last year, so mm-hmm. not all that long ago, that, well, there were the headliners, the George Lopez's, right. And that you considered yourself on the second tier.
Yeah, I think in our industry there's definitely tiers. And right, you know, the very next tier is guys like myself, Gabriel Iglesias, Willie Barcena. And the big gap there, I think, is probably the financial gap. It's getting closer and closer to the other guys, but you know, the better, the more successful that George, Carlos, and Paul are, the more it'll help, I think, you know, the rest of the guys behind them.
Robert, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's interesting you talk about the business of comedy, and you have said also talent is not enough. You have to be your own businessman, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, especially now, back in the day when I first started doing comedy, you know, you tried to get on The Tonight Show, you tried to get to sitcom. Now things are different. If you have a hit on YouTube, you all of a sudden you're headlining and you're making $30,000 a weekend from one hit on YouTube. And there are many comics that are like that. So I think as a businessman, entertainers in general are doing different things. There's so many famous people now that have no talent that are on YouTube, and they're famous just for being on YouTube. And it's, you know, God bless them. I mean, I wish I could had no talent like that and can do that as well. But I'm doing it the old school way.
Old school way. When you first made that transition to being a stand-up, where did you start work?
You know, I started in Tucson, Arizona, a little local club called Laughs Comedy Club. And when I went in there, I knew one day that's what I was going to do. And yeah, it was, you know, the thing was I hit rock bottom. At the time, I really didn't have a job. My wife kicked me out. I was practically homeless. And I remember going to a comedy club to cheer myself up, watching the comedian. And then I realized, you know what? I have nothing to lose. I don't have a family. I don't have a job. I don't have money. I don't have anything. I could literally do anything I want right now and start brand new. And I decided to become a comedian that moment.
Some people would say you still had your dignity, which you presumably lost in the first 30 seconds.
Yes, that pretty much.
Well, let's get another caller on the line. Lynn with us from Hendrum in Minnesota.
Yeah, my name is Liz.
Oh, like, I apologize.
Hey, Liz, what's up, girl?
Hi. Well, as a college student, there's a lot of stereotypes that we're trying to overcome in this society with Hispanics and Latinos. But I do believe laughter is the best policy. I was just wondering how you can overcome that as a comedian, and we can overcome that as a society. And I'll take my answer offline.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think people should just be more, you know, people should go to more comedy clubs and see more comedians. I think, unfortunately, you know, our land of the free and the freedom speech here really doesn't work that well in America. For the things I say on stage, you hear in radio would get in trouble, or people at their local job would get in trouble. And when you go see a comedian, you know, I do a lot of stereotypical joke and a lot of stereotypical humor, but it's all tongue in cheek and it's all fun. And like I tell people, I don't make fun of stereotypes. I actually celebrate the stereotype because there is a difference between people. When if you wanted to go eat Chinese food, you're driving around, you're not going to go to a place that has a sombrero on it. You're going to go to a place that has some kind of Chinese writing or some kind of Chinese art on it. You're going to go, okay, that must be a Chinese restaurant. Let me go in there. And that's kind of what comedy is. And basically, to tell you the truth, everything I talk about can pretty much cover any kind of stereotype or any kind of ethnic group. I remember I did a huge show one time where it was all kind of rednecks, you know? And I remember I did exact same material I do for all Latino crowds, except I changed the word Latino into redneck, and they loved it. And it was the same material. It was the same exact material. Nothing changed.
I've read that, for example, that if I were to tell the same joke you told in front of a Latino audience, I'd be ducking. People would be throwing things.
A little bit. It just depends on how you do it.
Same material. Well, but, you know, the fact is, because you are who you are, coming from where you are, from the Bronx and from Arizona.
I think it depends. No, not necessarily. I think it depends. I did a show called Latin Palooza, which I executive produced and produced, and I also was the host, which you could find on DVD, by the way, Latin Palooza by Joy Medina. On there, I have a white guy named Darren Carter, who does a lot of Latino humor. And nobody got upset. You know, he went on there as a Latino, and I called him a coconut, but a reverse coconut because he's brown on the inside and white on the outside. But the thing is, I think people understand a joke is a joke. And thank God people understand that. And it's okay to laugh at someone else's expense as long as no one really gets hurt or no one's feelings are really hurt. And when people get upset at comedians or radio hosts that say something that's a little off color, I get so upset. I'm like, this is the land of the free. We have freedom of speech. If you don't like what he said, don't listen to him next time.
Let's talk with Chris. Chris with us from Minneapolis.
¿Qué tal?
¿Qué pasa?
Man, congratulations on getting your movie produced. That's just fantastic. I haven't seen the film yet, but I'm anxious to. And I just wanted to ask what you felt was the most difficult part in getting it produced.
Being a filmmaker is very difficult. Money. The thing in show business is everyone has a script. Everyone has an idea for a movie or a show or what have you. Getting money is the toughest thing. And for anybody out there who's a struggling filmmaker or beginning filmmaker, the way to make a film is backwards. Get distribution first, then make your film. Don't make your film, spend all your money. You know, anything I've produced so far has been paid for by the distributors. They basically gave me an advance. I took that money, I used that money and put it on screen, and I made my projects. And that's the best way to make any film or any TV show, is sell it first, then make it.
That's not how you made El Matador, though, is it?
No, El Matador, I struggled. I used credit cards, I had food stamps, whatever I could find. I remember one of the cameramen I used, because I had, you know, I used several cameramen. He charged me $700. I didn't have it, but I had a credit card, so I took him to Costco, and I just bought $700 worth of stuff for him. He bought food, underwear, clothes, shoes, you know, and I'm like, that's how I paid him.
Chris, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's go now to Jim, and Jim's with us from Des Moines.
Hi. I have to confess that I'm not very conversant with Joy Medina.
That's okay.
I apologize in at the front for that, but I can obviously tell that he knows the craft really well, and so this is kind of a craft question. As I flip through the TV channels and I see comedians on the air today, it seems like there's a lot of acts that can't take place without injecting a lot of pretty body stuff, a lot of four-letter words and stuff, and you know, as a college kid, I enjoyed that. But mm-hmm. as a father, it's kind of embarrassing, and I'm worried about how comedians are contributing to the trashing out of, you know, our language and stuff. And,
well, I don't mean to cut you off, Jim, but we just have a minute left. I wanted to give Joey a chance to
respond. Thank you.
Oh, that's actually a great question. You're right, that does happen. I think the majority of comedians who do curse on stage, pretty much that's just the way they speak. They're more casual, and they speak to the audience as though they were speaking to a group of their friends at their house. I myself, believe it or not, I'm trying to cut back on that because, one, you get more work, and you seem a little more intelligent when you don't necessarily have to curse. And so that's, you know, but I totally understand what you're saying, and I agree with you.
Let's get this one last email in, and thanks, Jim, for your call. This is from Jody in Louisiana. You spoke of tears in Latin comedy. I wonder where you would place Carlos Mencia in this tier system, and or do you think he has negatively impacted the development of Latin comedy industry as a result over accusations of his plagiarism?
Well, of course, you know, everyone knows about, you know, he's been accused of that. He's actually on the top tier. He's one of the top guys. He makes a lot of money. He's very successful. And regardless of what you want to think of him, he's successful. And that in itself is a positive thing. And so regardless of what you want to think of Carlos Mencia or any other comedian, he is a role model in that way. You know, he's not my particular style of comedy, but it's okay. It doesn't have to be. This is an art, and he has the right and to do what, you know, he feels is right.
Joey Medina, good luck tonight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Joey Medina joined us in Studio 3A. He performs here in Washington tonight, part of the Reyes of Comedy, organized by the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.